Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Welcome to Undisputed. We are live from Los Angeles. I'm Jenny Taft, here with Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharp. Good morning.
Good morning. Bling, bling,
What's going on over here?
I'm all about the bling. Every day I'm about the bling. Thanks to Lil Wayne.
That looks amazing.
I got my Wayne necklace on now. It's my turn. Huh. Thank you very much. It's game over. Should we just stop the show right now? Because you got no shot today.
You know, your boy keep it, you know, it keep mine on.
Oh, you got
I keep mine on.
You know, your name is just too long.
No.
You want extra diamonds?
You need a four-letter name because people always call me four-letter names.
They call me Shay. Yeah. You know, so that's it. But he didn't go with that.
Really?
But you know this old Pollyanna Penny. Penny don't have hers on.
Okay.
She looks just fine.
I like that. I like
too
that.
Too much. Yeah. Guys, Skip, that looks great.
All right, here we go.
Something special is going to go on today with everyone rocking these. We have so much to get to on the show. How concerned should the Panthers be about Cam Newton's injury? That is unfortunately to report. And then should the Giants just go ahead and start Daniel Jones week one? But we are going to start down in Miami. Dolphins head coach Brian Flores said his decision to play 8 straight Jay-Z songs in Tuesday's practice was intended to, quote, challenge wideout Kenny Stills, wanting the receiver to be able to ignore outside distractions. This came after Stills was critical of Jay-Z's new role with the NFL. Jay-Z told reporters it was time to move past kneeling when asked about Colin Kaepernick, and Stills took exception to this, saying Jay-Z is not a player and has never been on a knee. Stills also said Jay-Z's comments discredited Colin Kaepernick's protests and work. So, Shannon, what do you make of Flores' explanation on this?
A challenge for who, Skip? Skip, this is what he said. He said it was a challenge for to Kenny to perform regardless of what's going on outside. I would say that he hasn't performed up to the level of the course of training camp. So that's the challenge, to get open, to catch the football, make plays for your team. So if you feel this way, why not do this before this alleged beef with Jay-Z? Do you feel this is the only way that you can motivate him? So let me get this correct, Brian Flores. If I'm having problems at home with my girlfriend or wife, you gonna bring her ass to practice? Because you want me to, I gotta get past everything now, remember?
That's a fair point.
He sounds ridiculous. We know what this is about. This is about making sure Kenny Stills stay in line, because it seems like he was trying to appease one guy he was supporting one guy, Skip, as opposed to supporting the other guy. That's what it sounds like to me. Skip this, Jay-Z. Now, he knows this man has a problem with some of the things that Jay-Z said. I don't know if he has a problem with Jay-Z itself, but some of the things that he said. And so you choose this way to motivate him. That's the only way you know, huh? You didn't bring him in and talk to him. Did you have a conversation? Kenny, what's going on, bro? You got something going on? Because the Kenny Stills that I know, that I've coached against over the last several years, this is not the Kenny Stills that I see.
That is true.
You could
hasn't played up to the old Kenny Stills.
Say that.
Okay.
Find something. But now, after this, you wait to this moment to say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. Oh, you got beef. You're not focused. You're not practicing. You're not practicing the way and making plays that I think you can. Oh, you got to beef with Jay-Z. Okay, I'm going to play Jay-Z song. This is ridiculous.
Eight straight.
Really? Really, Skip? I mean, come on, Brian. You're going to have to do a better job. I hate when you have to motivate. But sometimes you do, Skip. Every guy is not self-motivated, and certain guys have different stimuli that gets them motivated. Some guys, you can pat them on the back. Some guys, you got to kick in the butt. And some guys, you just got to ride. The main job of the coach is to find out what stimuli works best for each individual player.
That's true.
But for me, if Kenny Stills had not been performing, at what point did you pull him aside and say, Kenny, I need you to play better? Was it before or after he had this beef with Jay-Z that you decided, you know what, this is how I'm going to motivate him? Skip, I don't buy it for 1 second. I can see through this. It might be true, but I don't believe it is. I believe Brian Flores did this for a reason and not for the reason that he alleges.
I agree. I think this cut deeply into Brian Flores. And I'm going to remind everyone, he's a first-year head coach. He's only 38 years of old, years of age. Mm-hmm. And remember, Kenny Stills is now 27, so their cultural age gap is not great.
Right.
It's just 11 years. So I'm going to also remind everybody, even though Brian Flores is not really cut from the same cultural cloth as Bill Belichick,
right,
he grew up under Bill.
He's on that tree.
He watched Bill occasionally grandstand in different ways, send messages in different glaring ways to Malcolm Butler during the Super Bowl.
Right.
Your ass is on the bench. Mm-hmm. I'm going with my guy that I stole from Philadelphia, Eric Rowe. And we're still going to win this game. You know what happened there, but that's a whole nother story. He watched, even here recently, Bill Belichick just flat out cut the punter who could have been the MVP of the Super Bowl because he drafted a kid. He felt like he stole him in the fifth round out of Stanford. And he said, this kid will be a better punter than that kid was. Mm-hmm. So Brian Flores, this was a grandstand move. It was in Kenny Stills' face, and I'm going to go a cut deeper. Even though it may have been to motivate, and you say it's the wrong way to motivate, maybe that was the superficial reason here.
Correct.
That he's just not playing up to Kenny Stills, and maybe he's saying, you're so distracted by all of your social media, what's the best word, campaigning, your
social media presence. I mean,
he's just so caught up in it because he's constantly reacting and reading to social media.
Yes. Right.
Maybe he's saying that your head is so in there that we've lost you on this football team.
Okay.
Now, is that the way to get his head back into football with 8 straight Jay-Z songs? I don't think so either, which is why I'm going a cut deeper here. Brian Flores also said to the media in explaining what he was doing that he said, quite honestly, they, meaning Cap, Kenny, Eric Reed, they're bringing attention to my story because he thinks he lived the story harder than they lived the story. Brian Flores grew up in the Brownsville section of Brooklyn, about 3 miles from where Jay-Z grew up in Bed-Stuy. Mm-hmm. Two rough neighborhoods. So Brian Flores goes on telling the media, I'm a son of immigrants. I'm black. I grew up poor. I grew up in New York during the stop and frisk era. So I've been stopped, blah, blah, blah. And he goes into the whole thing and he said, I applaud those guys for what they are doing, but I don't know how many people have, but I have lived it in ways even you in South rural Georgia did not live that kind of, of upbringing.
Right.
Okay. So he's saying he relates to Jay-Z, and I'm going to bet you he's a big Jay-Z fan.
Right.
And I think he took it a little personally that Kenny would dare to have the audacity to take a shot at Jay-Z, which he had just done the day before these songs were played.
Right.
Am I right?
I agree.
Okay. So he's saying, so guys in the locker room are still counting on Kenny to get open, catch the football, and perform for this team. That's the superficial reason. But I'm going one cut deeper. And tell me if I'm wrong, because this is my 2 cents from a distance. I think he was offended that Kenny Stills, who grew up in Carlsbad, California, which is about 35 miles just north of San Diego, so it's deep Southern California, and I do not know Carlsbad, so I don't know his economic plight or existence, you know, the upbringing.
Right.
It could have been pretty rough. Was it Brownsville or Bed-Stuy? Probably not. I don't know that for a fact, but again, I know Kenny Stills well enough to know. I think he grew up, he was well-raised, he's well-mannered, he's very well-spoken. I think Brian is saying, basically, who the hell are you to criticize Jay-Z, okay?
Skip, this is where I would push back with Brian Flores, because Ben Franklin had a famous quote. He says, change comes about when the unaffected is equally as impacted as those that are affected. So even though Kenny Stills did not go through that, he's willing to fight for it.
He is.
Because if you only get guys, you only get a person or people that have only experienced that, or they're the only ones that's willing to fight, it's going to be a very short fight. A very short fight.
Okay. So, is it possible that Brian Flores just acted out of anger just to put Kenny back in his place. Do you see that?
That could possibly be. Because he's like, because he was early on, he said, Skip, you know, I agree, you know, Kenny makes some compelling points. But he should have reached out to Stephen Ross first. Mm-hmm. Although Stephen Ross didn't reach out to Kenny Stills and say, you know, I'm holding this fundraiser for President Trump. So you want him to afford a courtesy mm-hmm. that he wasn't afforded. Mm-hmm. Skip, it sounds like to me that Brian Flores wants Kenny Stills to get in line with what
mm-hmm. okay.
we know where he wants he Maybe. Wants him to go.
Maybe. So Kenny Stills' reaction was bafflement. Like, what? I don't really get what he's trying to do.
Right.
So Kenny's reaction was, for the most part, I think it was him seeing if I could handle if people are going to heckle me or play Jay-Z in another stadium.
Right.
If I could be mentally strong enough to handle that sort of treatment. Yeah, he will be. Right. He'll be just fine.
Yeah.
Kenny's been campaigning. He's been trailblazing for a long time. He's been doing this for, I don't know, 5 years?
I think the thing is, Skip, plus, you can imagine what he receives on his social media.
Oh,
you probably
well,
can imagine.
He's talking about the death threats.
Right, you can yes. imagine what he receives in some places that he go publicly. So it's hard for me to imagine that playing a Jay-Z song over the loudspeaker would have a greater impact than him receiving death threats or some of the comments that he's receiving on social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's just hard for me to believe that. And it seems that he's been dealing with this cap thing kicked off in, what, 2016? And he's mm-hmm. been, you know, front and center ever since then. And he's still been performing. So clearly, it has not impacted him like Brian Flores. But, Skip, if you're not careful here, you see how this thing is trending, right?
Mm.
Now, when they release Kenny Stills, what is it going to be? Because, you know, he wasn't performing well. They've already building this thing in that mm-hmm. Kenny Stills is not playing like Kenny Stills we know.
Mm-hmm. Yet. Brian Flores went way out of his way to talk about how much he applauds what they're all doing. Like, he's talked about Cap, Eric Reed, Kenny. He said, I even told Kenny in our meeting in front of the entire team how much I believe in what he's doing. And again, back to the first quote from him that I read, quite honestly, they're bringing attention to my story. I just think he was offended that Kenny took a shot at Jay-Z. And I'm not sure that I'm with you that he's just trying to get him to be in line because of the owner, Stephen Ross. I think this is more personal on Brian's part, but that's just me.
Okay. I won't fight you on that, but like I said, he didn't have to add that part, Skip, that he should have reached out to the owner first. He
yeah.
could have left that part out. And once he says, okay, you could have reached out to him, the owner knew how Kenny Stills. He's been fighting for the guy that you're supporting from day one.
Nothing new.
Yes.
Totally agree.
So what? And Kenny said, why would I reach out to him? I already know. I've already had a conversation with him, several conversations. I know where he stands. He knows where I stand. It just feels like we're just spinning our wheels. We're just like, we're going to agree to disagree. And that's the terminology that he used. And that's why Kenny's like, I'm not going to reach out to you because I already know how you feel and where you stand.
Mm.
Okay. Well, this next story, guys, is important to address given what we just talked about. Panthers safety Eric Reed delivered a late hit straight to the head of Patriots tight end Ben Watson last night. Now, Reed was flagged for unnecessary roughness, and thankfully, Watson was able to walk off the field on his own. Reed faced questions after the game if the hit was intentional after he recently had a disagreement with Watson. Reed was quoted over the weekend asking if any good has come from a recent deal that the Players Coalition had in place with the league for national and local projects. Watson, who is involved with the Players Coalition, responded on Twitter telling Reed he was wrong. So another angle. Shannon, did Reed's hit on Watson, did it look intentional to you?
Skip, it's hard to determine intent because you have to get in someone's mens rea. You have to get into their mindset. And intent only matters, Skip, to the individual that's committed the act. Mm. I had a professor that asked me one time, he said, Shannon, do you know the difference between murder and manslaughter?
Mm.
And I'm like, I couldn't, Skip, I was a freshman. I like, no. He says it's intent.
Hmm.
But the Ben Watson still has a headache, whether Eric Reed meant to do it or not. His head still hurts this morning.
Hmm.
It just, whether he intended it or not, he made no effort to pull up. Ben Watson's on the ground, Skip. I mean, what did he think? He thought that no one touched him and that Ben could get up and run. Ben was down.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit him in the head. I think this has more to do with the coalition and how Ben Watson is very involved in the Players Coalition. And Eric Reed feels like he and Cap has been pushed aside.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of the work that they started has been co-opted by this new Players Coalition, and Eric Reid has taken offense to that. I don't know if Eric Reid saw Ben Watson's quote. I don't know. But I do know how Eric Reid feels about some of the guys in the Players Coalition, Malcolm Jenkins, and some of these other guys.
Yep.
So I think that had a lot to do with it. He knew to say that he didn't know that was Ben Watson.
Yeah,
I don't believe he can't convince me that he didn't know that was Ben Watson, and he went directly for the head.
He did.
So I'm not gonna say what I'm intending to hit him, but he did not. He intended to hit him. I don't know if he intended to hit him in his head, but that doesn't matter. Intent doesn't matter. The victim is just as injured whether you meant to do it or not. Because intent only matters to the individual that's committing the act. Because Ben Watson, his head hurts just as much this morning, whether he meant to do it or not.
Correct. I had two reactions to this. I watched it live, and then I read about the backstory, and I slept on it, and I reacted again when I woke up this morning and saw the play again on the highlight shows, again and again and again. My first reaction was, there has been an open rebellion on the part of lots of players and some coaches, and we're going to talk about this a little later in the show, against preseason football, period.
Okay. Right.
They just don't want to play it anymore, to the point something's going to have to give here because the owners are still charging the same prices.
Exactly.
And it just gets worse and worse. And obviously, the trigger for all this is just preseason, senseless, needless injuries. Why should you inflict these injuries upon your players in games that don't count?
Right.
Well, we can debate that all day long,
right,
because they do count in a way, because they count toward game one. But that's a whole nother issue.
And the thing was, Skip, they've always played preseason. We've always been, but now all of a sudden, we seem more concerned now than we ever were before.
When I was growing up, they had six preseason games. Think about that. Six?
Wow. You went away for a long period of time.
Okay. So, I'm watching this play live, and I've followed Ben Watson's career for a long time, and he is now 38 years old, and he will be 39 in December, and he is considered an elder statesman in the game.
Very well.
Can I go highly respected?
Very.
I think so.
Very highly.
Very. Okay.
So I'm thinking, I'm watching number 84 for the New England Patriots, Benjamin Watson, catch a pass, go down defenseless, and I see Eric Reid fly in late, and seem to go for his head,
right?
And I'm thinking, Eric Reid, what are you doing? Not only is this a preseason game, and not only are many of your brethren within the league having issues with getting hurt, but now you're playing over the edge, taking a late shot, even if it was unintended. At that point, I didn't know about any intent. I just thought he was sort of playing out of control, like it was reckless behavior on his part, in albeit the quote-unquote, it used to be the dress rehearsal game three. I think that's passé now.
Right,
I don't think they're even saying this is our dress rehearsal.
Right.
They're just saying we're trying to get through game three, and game four is going to be our fourth stringers or whoever, you know, nobody who's going to make our team is going to play game four.
Yeah, let's get through these four meaningless games as easily as possible.
Okay, so it was very offensive to me that Eric Reid would allow that reckless behavior on that play against an elder statesman in a game that doesn't count.
Right.
And I just was, this had nothing to do with racial issues. I'm just thinking, what are you doing? Mm. Then I read the backstory.
Yeah.
And now I can't help but be at least highly suspicious
that
there was intent, because Eric Reid takes this blood seriously.
Right.
Right? This whole cause.
Eric Reid made it easier to make that leap that this was intentional
because
of the backdrop, because of the Players Coalition, and because of some of the things that he said on Twitter, and Ben Watson responded by saying, you're wrong.
Okay, so I'm going to remind people that this has been about 4 years ago. Benjamin Watson wrote a book, and it's a long title, but I'm going to read it because it's significant. The book is called Under Our Skin, Getting Real About Race and Getting Free from the Fears and Frustrations That Divide Us. And it was a positive look at black-white relations. How can we improve them? It was all in the vein and mode of, how can we make this better? This is what, it's for both black and white people, for the white people, this is what you don't understand about us. That was sort of the theme and spirit of the book.
Okay.
So his background is not dissimilar from yours. He's Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Yeah.
So it's
I know where it is.
Okay, you got it. Mm-hmm. And he went to Georgia, and you almost went to Georgia, but you're from rural South Georgia, obviously.
I think he started at Duke, though, Skip.
Did he?
I think he might have started at Duke and then transferred to Georgia.
I'm not sure, but that's an interesting note. And he has been very outspoken about his Christian faith, just for the record. So this is where he's coming from, and he's Players Coalition. How can we work with the league to fix this?
Right.
And you can have your issues because you can say, quote unquote, they give up too much, they compromise too freely and quickly. But remember, the NFL did dedicate millions of dollars, right, to social justice sort of reform platforms and any endeavors within the community. So he's saying, hey, we're at least making a little bit of progress. And Eric Reed is saying, well, progress this because I'm going to hit you in the head. and it got me because he stung him to the point Ben Watson couldn't get up.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure he's in concussion protocol. He have to be.
Yes.
Because he was wobbly coming off the field.
Well, my thing is, and he said he didn't want to get anybody hurt. Well, the one way you're not to get hurt somebody is make sure you don't hit them in the head. Skip, I understand that there have been times that in the game where if I try to catch a pass and I duck, the guy's coming in, he thinks he's going to hit me in the chest. I'm bracing because I know he's coming. I duck into a blow. I'm not upset. But that right there, I believe that could have been avoided. Skip, I think it was my last year in Minnesota, I was running a seam route, and the safety put his helmet right up under my chin. And he's like, my bad. Are you okay? I'm like, hell no, I ain't okay. You hit me under my chin full speed. What you think? You hit that man, is he all right? No, he's not all right. Mm. You just hit him in his head.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we get down to the code of NFL brethren. Is it superseded by any race issue that you would have, even if it's black man to black man?
For me, Skip, especially in a preseason game?
That's what I'm saying.
Skip, I'm not trying. Look, and we were notorious. We got on people's ankles and knees. But in the preseason game, I wasn't doing any of that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not just coming to me. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do this. You hit the man in the head.
Even though, you know, Eric Reed is quote unquote willing to die for this cause. He's willing to sacrifice his career. He hasn't yet, but he seemed willing to, right?
Well, I ain't trying to die on the football field because you hit me in my head.
I got it.
Okay, that's a very worthy cause, and I'm all with you. And I think Eric Reed has done some great things, but I don't agree with everything that he does. I believe this hit could have been avoided. Mm-hmm. And something that can be avoided, we should try to avoid it. Because at the end of the day, he's trying to provide for his family as you're trying to provide for yours. Because you have to understand, what goes around comes around. Sometimes you'll be standing around and then somebody dives into your knee and then you talk about that was uncalled for. Mm. Well, you had a play in the preseason that was uncalled for.
Yep.
So just be careful because we must protect. It's a very physical game, and you have to protect one another.
If you had been a teammate of Benjamin Watson's last night, how would you have reacted?
I'd have yelled something on the field.
Okay, at Eric Reed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. All right. That was some bull. You know what? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Okay. Yes.
I don't know if those words were uttered. It wasn't visibly. You know, I didn't see anybody visibly go after him.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Nah, you're not finna cheap shot my guy. I don't care preseason, all that. Nah, you're not finna cheap shot my guy.
Yeah.
Reed did say that he didn't know. He tweeted at him that it's not something you're thinking about during the game. He was, you know.
Did he not know that was Ben Watson?
Mm. Exactly.
Did he not know he had beef with Ben Watson?
Exactly, that's what
so
I'm
So whether
saying.
Or not, Skip. Exactly.
Yeah. No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
So Zeke's holdout continues as the Cowboys prepare for their third preseason game tomorrow night. Negotiations are still ongoing, and the Cowboys have reportedly offered Zeke a deal that would make him the second highest paid running back in the league. That would put the All-Pro just behind Todd Gurley's latest deal, but ahead of Le'Veon Bell's deal. There were reports that Zeke was in Dallas last weekend, but if that was true, then it appears he's back in Cabo now, getting set to train with Hall of Fame running back Marshall Faulk. Ooh. So, Shannon, will Zeke's deal get done before week one?
It will, Skip, it looks like, you don't know all the reports, but let's just say for the sake of argument, he's willing to take a deal somewhere in between Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
Because the Cowboys have made it abundantly clear they're not trying to reset the market.
Mm-mm.
They believe that the Todd Gurley deal is an outlier contract. I believe Zeke, had he had 1 year, Skip, he would probably have a better chance. But because he has two, because you remember, Skip, how long it was before a defensive player eclipsed the Ndamukong Suh number. It took Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack being in the last years of their deal. Khalil Mack was in his option year, and Aaron had 1 year left. So if Zeke had 1 year left, Skip, there's no question in my mind. But I believe now Todd got 45 guaranteed. Le'Veon is 35 guaranteed. Zeke looks like he's going to be somewhere in between, say, $40 million guaranteed. Mm. See, for me, if I'm Zeke, you know, athlete, how I think, Skip Bayless, I ain't do no holding out to be the second highest paid. Like, I didn't play to be the second best tight end, or I didn't play to be the second best anything.
Okay.
If I take the steps that I took, I'm trying to be number one. Huh. Why did I do it? Huh. Zeke, don't acquiesce. Make him give you more than Todd Gurley. Mm. That's what you should do, Zeke. That's what I would do if I was advising him, which I'm not. But number one, Todd Gurley got $45 million. I want $45 million and $1.
Hmm, okay. So it sounds like Shannon Sharp across from me is crumbling and giving in to the fact that Zeke is going to be a Dallas Cowboy week one against the New
because
York Giants.
Because he's crumbling.
Oh.
I don't know that to be true, but right. if his whole, Skip, I believe Zeke held out, and you believe this too, because he wanted more money than Todd Gurley. Now, if he's unwilling, if he's like, okay, y'all won't give me Todd Gurley and I'll accept something else, okay, yeah. But I thought he wanted that. I thought he wanted to reset the market. Because what we're seeing here, Skip, if he doesn't reset the market, it's going to be a while before it gets reset. Because the next great running back that's coming up is who, Skip? Saquon. So that's 2 years down the road after this year for him. Mm. So if Zeke doesn't reset it, it's not going to get reset for another 2021, 2022. Hmm. So that's what I was thinking that he was going to do. That's what Le'Veon tried to do.
Hmm.
That's why he held out against Pittsburgh last year and wouldn't take the franchise tag. Hmm. He wanted to keep the market going up. Well, the NFL, the teams have said, nah, we're going to stagnate this thing. And it looks like Zeke is like, okay, y'all not going to give me Todd Gurley money? Okay, I'll take a little bit more guaranteed money than Le'Veon.
Hmm. By the way, just point of order, the next great running back coming up just could be Tony Pollard, but I
oh, my goodness. There you go, Skip. You need to stop.
Or Mike Pollard, whatever you want to call him.
Either or.
Call him whatever you want to call him.
He won't mind.
Just call him potentially
Marcus
great.
Pollard, Bernie Pollard, yeah,
whoever
matter.
It is. Yeah. Yep. So, I've told you from the start, I will never bet against Jerry Jones when it comes to cap management or negotiating. I tend to close my eyes and wince when he makes football moves because they haven't always proven to be great. Although with the help of Will McClay, they have gotten much better.
Well, he out of that business because Will is knocking it out of the park.
I hope so. He is knocking it out of the park and right into your lap over there, right? So Jerry is going to figure this out. And because of the mentality, the psyche of number 21 who wants to play football for the Dallas Cowboys, because it's a great stage, it's perfect to be doing this on.
Right.
That Jerry knows that there will be some compromise on both sides before this ends, and it will end the week before the season. I told you, I won't even start to get anxious. Wake me up on Labor Day. Because we will be up because we're going to
we'll be
right here.
I will definitely be up.
So be sure and wake me up at 2 a.m. because I'll be here. And on that day, I'll start to get a little bit of buzz about, I don't know, maybe it's going to happen today or tomorrow or maybe Wednesday at the latest, but it will happen.
What happens if it doesn't?
Well, I don't want to even deal with that. I don't deal in hypotheticals. I just deal in gut feelings, and my gut is that Jerry always gets these done. And I keep harping on the point he made, now it's like 3 weeks ago. They want this to happen. We want this to happen. And when two parties want something to happen, it happens.
Yes. Okay? And it seems to me, Skip, if he's going to be willing to be content with being the second highest paid running back, and he's highly motivated to get this done, the Cowboys have always been motivated to get this deal done, Skip. They've always wanted to take care of Zeke, but they didn't want to take care of Zeke at the number Zeke wanted to be taken care of.
Okay, I got it. So here's the point. We saw Jerry in angry mode 2 days ago, and I told you, I've not seen him much angrier than he was. And that was because of the shot Rocky Arsenault had taken back about, you know, we didn't find that Zeke comment funny. We found it disrespectful. And remember, I have earned the right.
Yeah.
To joke with Zeke.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then Jerry took a strong stance. He had his backbone up about team first. and we're going to do this the right way. Well, obviously, that's at complete odds, just diametrically opposed to what Jerry wants the most in the world, which is to win either this Super Bowl or maybe the next one.
Right.
Right?
It is funny. I find it very ironic, Skip, that Tony Romo did not get a team-friendly deal. Tony Romo was the highest-paid quarterback.
Yeah. Okay.
And they want a hard time on Dak. My guy, Dak.
I think Jerry's learned some hard lessons that
way.
He
did.
Okay.
Jerry used to just throw away money.
All right. So Jerry has that internal clash of, do I want a Super Bowl or do I want to show that I'm the Patriots? Right. You know, okay. That we're going to have a Patriot-like right. salary system. The Patriots got a huge break because Tom Brady keeps saying, I'll take a huge discount.
Well, he didn't say that this time. Okay. Bill said, I'll give you a little something. What okay. you want? Yeah, well, that's what Bill said, I'll give you a little something.
Okay. Well, maybe that will lead to a departure. So, but on one of their
cry.
Parts.
And you're going to cry. If that would have happened, you would cry.
Well, if Bill's gone?
No. Bill ain't going nowhere. Bill ain't going nowhere.
So here's the point. This is where Jerry is incredibly creative and incredibly persuasive when he gets involved in the negotiation because he is the deal closer.
Right.
Even though he can be the bad cop to Steven's good, his son's yeah. good cop, mm-hmm. the bad cop can come in the end and suddenly turn, you know, arms around your good cop.
Yeah.
And say, let's just get this finished right now. Mm-hmm. And he's going to throw him some bones yeah. because he's got three bones he could throw him on the Todd Gurley deal.
Right.
Again, it wasn't an outlier deal. It was an outrageous deal. Because the Rams, I think even now, off camera, yeah. would admit to you, I think we overpaid on right. this because he's already at risk to have bad knees, right? Okay, so you have three shots here. Todd Gurley got $21 million just as a pure signing bonus.
Right.
Well, you could give Zeke 22. You could start right
oh,
you, there.
What is okay. it? Now we talking, Skip. Okay. Now we talking. Okay.
$45 million guaranteed. That's the big one to swallow.
Right.
Ooh, 45. So, but again, you could give him 46. Would right. that close the deal right
yes.
here, right now? Yes,
absolutely.
It would.
Absolutely.
Or you could finagle it somehow because Todd makes 14.4 on average per year. Mm-hmm. Well, you could somehow pay Zeke 14.5 a year just to give him something to hang his helmet on, you know, yep. just to say, I got that.
Right.
I got
right,
hey,
right,
hey, I got
right,
that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
right.
you have three areas of a deal where you could say, I got a little more than Todd did, this way. Now, which is more team friendly? I don't know. This like boggles my mind to try to figure this out. Maybe it's the signing bonus. Maybe it's the upfront where you say, wow, I got yeah. $22 million to
right.
sign. I'm
and
good.
And that's, Skip, that's what you want because you give him the big bonus and then you prorate it
pro-rate.
Because you did it like a Jalen Smith.
Okay.
Jalen Smith's going to make $800,000, but he probably got $25 million to sign his name.
Okay.
So the cap numbers over the first three okay. years is going to be very, very friendly.
All right.
So you do something like that with Zeke.
Where he can walk in the locker room with his chest.
Yeah. Y'all see what your boy did.
Which one would you want if you could take
give me that money
three.
In front.
You
money,
want it
yeah,
up
give
front.
Me money in front.
Okay.
Look, I don't care enough about no 45, no 47.
You want it now.
I need to have, how much money I'm getting put in my hand?
Okay, well, then this could close. I mean,
that makes a lot of sense.
Well, huh. not my hand. Well, how much of you guys go direct deposit?
Mm. Direct
that
deposit? What
I yeah, direct deposit.
Oh, you just...
I didn't even know you did that.
You have discovered that.
Yeah, I didn't have a choice, you know. They kind of like, no, we're not going to be sending you. We're paperless here at Fox.
Bags of money.
I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I need to skip. You know, is this something about seeing it?
Cool. You
can just see the check?
Materializes right there.
No, Skip. I'm just used to like, you know, used to work the job and the man like, okay, well, here you go. And I just see him. I'm like, dang, $15. I worked the whole week, got $15. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I just... Got used to seeing it, but yeah. it's okay
We've
now.
Moved on from
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Jerry will close this deal. This is Jerry's Super Bowl, and he will win it. I'm not saying they're going to win this, the real Super Bowl, but he'll win his.
Oh, and if I'm Dak, says, okay, well, since y'all right. save some money on Zeke, y'all need to give me that money that you saved on Zeke.
Next domino.
Yeah, with your news.
It'll be the next
Amari's making 13.9 this year, so maybe he can wait a little while.
You know, Mari said, hey. Mari going to want, because Julio, they want Julio and A.J. Green, all them boys coming.
Yep.
That's what really Amari is waiting on. Mm-hmm. He's trying to see, okay, where's Julio? Where's A.J.? Because
mm-hmm.
the top five now is about to get reshuffled.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, oh, you want to make me top five?
Mm.
Well, look with Julio.
Shannon Sharpe continues to voice all this wishful thinking uh-huh. because The worst case scenario is everybody gets signed and everybody's happy and Shannon's unhappy.
You can sign everybody you want, but I still have two things working for me in my favor, Skip Bayless. Your head coach and your quarterback. Those have not changed.
I will give you the head coach. The quarterback will make you
No, he won't.
We don't have time to get into that, guys. We have to talk about a different quarterback. What is going on with Cam Newton? Should the Panthers be concerned? We'll discuss the latest next. No mercy. Cam Newton's shoulder appeared to be good early on last night, completing his first four passes. But Cam was sacked on his third series, came up limping after the play. He was able to walk to the locker room on his own, but his night was done. After the game, Cam was wearing a walking boot. And now reports are saying that it is only an ankle sprain, but the 2015 MVP will undergo some more testing today. Shannon, how concerned should the Panthers be with Cam's latest injury?
They should be very concerned. It's like with most quarterbacks, most teams, Skip, they're quarterback driven. Mm-hmm. And when the quarterback goes out, it substantially hampers your ability to win ball games, especially because you're so reliant on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But for me, Skip, this issue still hasn't been addressed. They can't protect him. Now, that injury, that's Cam. Can't throw the ball away. Why are you trying to make a play in the preseason? Bruh, no hero ball in the preseason.
Yep.
None, zero. If it's not there, 1, 2, 3, hey. If I'm going 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, hey, check it down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is not there, check it down, throw it away. I'm not trying to play any hero ball in the preseason, Skip, because I'm not going to give them an opportunity to put me on the ground. But this offensive line is not very good, Skip, and they can't protect Cam. And they were just sloppy last night.
They were.
It's as simple as that. And I don't want to, you know, put it all on the Panthers offense. But the Patriots, they do have a good defense, Skip. Mm-hmm. But they did not look good. Mm. And I'm a firm believer, if you limp into the regular season, you'll limp out of it.
Yep.
You can't get healthy playing NFL football if you come into the season injury, Skip, because it just there's not enough time in the day. Mm. Because you got to be out there, and it's just a grind mentally, physically, and emotionally. But the Panthers should be very concerned that they still haven't found a way to protect Cam, and Cam still needs to understand there's a time and a place for everything, and the preseason is not the time or the place for hero ball.
Mm. I will give you this. The Patriots were all over him from the start, and he did try to extend a couple of plays way too long where he was asking for more and more trouble. But by the way, your guy Chase Winovich from Michigan, he's going to be a factor for them. He was playing with the ones last night. My guy Adam Butler from Vanderbilt University, he was the guy who sacked him on the play in question. Now, on the play in question, I couldn't see what went wrong. It didn't look that dangerous to me. I don't know what you saw, but I couldn't see what happened to his foot. But the point is, I'm going to just throw this out, and I hope I'm right about this in a very negative light. I'm hoping that Cam just, like, he's rebelling against the preseason like a lot of other like his body language said from the start, I don't really want to be out here. And if that's true, and if he was slightly exaggerating how hurt he was, I'm good with that because that would mean he's not really hurt. If this is serious, which it could be very, he was in a boot.
Right.
Was he being over-dramatic about it? Was he, you know, over-dramatizing?
They seem to be overly cautious. Now, they put everybody in the boot, Skip.
Yep.
I mean, you got a bloody nose, they'll put you in a walking boot. I mean, Jesus Christ. Come on, guys. I mean, it's not that serious. I mean, I never got in a walking boot. I left a lot of stadiums with sprained ankles, Skip, and never got in a walking boot. Now, the least little thing, a guy got a walking boot, he got a sling, he got a cat. I'm like, geez.
It looked to me like he just wasn't into it last night, and it was compounded by the fact that they could not protect him. But his body language was not good.
No.
And this has been an ongoing issue for this franchise. He's clearly the best player.
Yes.
He's the face of the franchise. You have to live up to it and set a tone for everybody else the way Brady does. And I don't want to throw Brady up against Cam because it's not a fair comparison. But Cam has shown through stretches that he can be really good in this league.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He won an MVP.
Yeah.
He got that team to a Super Bowl.
15-1.
Yeah, 15-1 in, what was he that year, 35 touchdowns to 10 interceptions.
Wow.
Okay. Since then, look what's happened. He went 19-14, then he went 22-16, and then last year 24-13. He was hurt, and he supposedly got it fixed. I hope he got his shoulder fixed.
Right.
But that's Over the last 3 years, that's a grand total of 43 interceptions. That is tied for first in the National Football League. Well, obviously, that won't work.
Now, you can't put the ball in harm's way that many times.
Not that many times, which is why, among qualified quarterbacks, he's 21st in winning percentage over the last 3 years, because they just haven't been very good,
right,
in part because he hasn't been very good. That's not the whole show,
right,
but again. So this was going to be a bounce-back year, and that wasn't a good launching pad last night, because I'm pretty sure that's the end of his preseason.
Right. Yeah, I don't think any of the starters are going to play in the fourth the final preseason game. And so, you Skip, the last time when you step on the field, I just remember when playing with Mike, and I always go back to this, Skip, is that he's like, guys, you know you're not playing in game four. Let's put our best effort to give us something positive going into the season, Skip.
Right.
We're going to put, hey, he was going to call plays like this. He and Coop was going to call plays like a regular season game,
mm-hmm,
and we were going to approach it. We were going to get, we're going to go no huddle. We were going to do things that we would do in the regular season because we wanted, okay, we ready, because we're not playing next week, but we needed that confidence. Okay, we ready to go play. We good.
Did you ever step on even a preseason football field and not have some sense of urgency?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Didn't every time you step on the field, even in the preseason, didn't you think, I have pride in what I'm going to put out
because
there?
Because I'm getting graded, Skip.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm getting, other teams are watching. I know Mike's watching because we had cameras in the locker room, we had cameras in the meeting room. So if I know he's watching everything that goes on when we're not on the field, I know damn well he's watching when we're on the field. At Skip, my thing was I wanted to put my best foot forward. I know if I was going to be out there five plays, I'm going to give you five plays of effort. If I'm going to be out there 10, it doesn't matter. I just wanted to make sure I'm doing my best because somebody's watching.
Mm.
And I never wanted the guys on my team to be like, man, Sharp dogging it. He dogged it on that one.
Mm.
Nah.
Wasn't the kind of player you were.
Nah, you just – and I get skeptical, but we're going to talk about it later. But this preseason, we got to –
We are going to
something got to be done.
Yeah, something does have to be done.
It has become open rebellion against preseason games. And Cam probably fell into that group last night because his body language just said, I don't want to play in a preseason game.
You know what the preseason's getting like, Skip? The Pro Bowl. It's becoming
unwatchable. That's a good analogy. No mercy.
Tom Brady looked sharp as ever against the Panthers last night. The 42-year-old quarterback went 8 for 12 for 75 yards, but he wasn't only doing it with his arm. On 3rd-and-3, Brady ran for a first down to keep the drive alive that would end with the only touchdown of the game. After Brady came out, instead of veteran QB Brian Hoyer coming in, Belichick put in rookie Jared Stidham. Stidham played the remainder of the game. He went 15 of 19 for 134 yards, no picks. Interesting stuff. We are now joined by FS1 NFL analyst Mark Schlereth.
Right.
Mark, what did you see from Brady and what did you see from Stidham last night?
I saw the Brady I see every single year in a day and age where nobody plays in the preseason anymore. Tom Brady, 42 years old, go out, lead your team, played well into the second quarter. And I'm telling you what, same stuff. Manipulate the pocket, drive up in the pocket, threw a 25-yard comeback on a rope.
He did.
Down the sideline. I mean, he looked like the same Tom Brady we have watched for the last 20 years.
No drop off.
Absolutely. No. I mean, I think he has more arm talent. You know, he works with Tom House where rotational force, like ground force becomes rotational force, so you're throwing with the rest of your body. I think his arm looks better at 42 than it did at 22 or 23. Woo-hoo-hoo. Like that's
you
Tom
believe
Brady.
In that? Mm-mm. This is from your ex-teammate.
Right.
This man's got rings.
See, the thing,
so does he.
That's what I'm saying. You're like,
we got a couple of them together.
This is a level playing field here.
But for me, I think the thing is that people like with Tom Brady, they're expecting him to all of a sudden one day wake up and he's Tim Tebow throwing the football.
Right.
That's not going to happen. It's a gradual, it's a step here, it's a misthrow there, it's slow read here. That's how it is, Skip. It's not, nobody just jumps into the ocean. And that's what you expect in him. Well, I didn't see that. No, but Pro Football Focus, what they say, Skip? You love that. You always read to me what they say.
I told you how badly they swung and missed on Dak, right?
How they swing and miss on him?
Well, 17th. He's a top 10 quarterback, but go ahead. So, they got Tom Brady number
one. In college, you're top 10 in college, but you don't mean it. But what are you talking about?
So, they said he took a step back, and I disagree with that. I didn't see step back last year. I saw him beat Mahomes twice and beat Aaron Rodgers, win at Chicago. I don't know.
But he beat Mahomes but couldn't beat Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
He couldn't beat Matthew Stafford.
Were they in position to be the number one seed in the AFC last year?
I don't know anything about the number one seed. I'm just saying, Skip.
Except for the Miami Miracle, right?
I think that the issue you get into as an older player, and, you know, Shannon can attest to this as I can, is your ability to recover, your ability to bounce back, your ability to every week answer the bell. Like, that comes into question. There will be games where your body just doesn't respond the way you want it to respond, but, like, you manage those games, you get through those games, still in pressure-packed situations, back-to-back Super Bowls, one he threw for over 500 yards. I mean, the guy can still absolutely sling it. So that part has not dropped off. And from the neck up, I mean, there's nobody better.
Okay. You know, and I know, there's going to come a point after he's 45 years of age where he would try to come out for preseason, and you would suddenly say, I'm not seeing the release I used to see. It's a little slower on the draw than it used to be, or I'm going to see the velocity dip 5 miles, 10 miles an hour. You would just see it because it just starts happening over time.
If it decreased
right?
5 or 10, he better not take his butt out there and try to throw the ball.
All right, but I'm just saying, did you see that last night? No.
I would tell you what I'm going to see. I'm going to see him in another uniform next year.
I don't know.
For 3 years, you said he was going to finish playing football at the end of this year. So now we're up to the fourth year where now you've amended your prediction to he's going to still play for another team.
No, wait. But I did not anticipate that his dad, that he would ask his dad to intervene. Mm-hmm. He called his dad on the principal because he was being bad and the principal disciplined him, and he called his dad and his dad handled that.
Was dad right?
Now, I'm not saying that he's right.
Was he right?
The principal is Coach Belichick.
Okay,
he's not wrong. He runs a great school.
Okay, so he would have gone with Jimmy G. Would they have the Super Bowl rings that they have?
You looking at Jimmy G in San Francisco. Look at Jimmy G in New England with that system.
Would Tom Brady have another Super Bowl ring elsewhere if he had
it
been
let
go?
It all depends on where he went.
Possibly.
Where would he go?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he went to the right situation, Peyton went to the right situation.
Okay, so it is painfully clear to me that Belichick is now fast-tracking Jared Stidham to be the next Brady, to be the next Jimmy G, and that he gave him so many snaps in the preseason. Jared Stidham's now thrown 62 balls just in the preseason. Tom Brady's thrown a grand total of 12, and that's over and out for this preseason, because I'm pretty sure, unless Belichick defies any sort of conventional wisdom and forces Tom to play in game four.
He messed around and put Tom out there and Tom take a hit and get hurt.
Yeah.
He had to leave New England.
You think so?
They would run him up out of the... Skip, they put that man in the fourth game and you mess around and get... Because anything can happen. He takes a fluke hit, runs, and somebody falls on him. Nah, you're not running that risk.
He's down, Bill would be happy.
He's not running that
risk. He could go on into the next era. Because you know and I know, before he's through, Bill wants the opportunity to show he can win a Super Bowl
absolutely.
Without Tom Brady.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, do you blame him? I don't blame him for that.
I've always said, you think the egos are big in the locker room? Walk upstairs to the coach's offices. There's some egos. There's some egos up there, too.
Everybody thinks it's them. I mean, we won Super Bowls, and the people that cut the grass, you know how that grass was. They had it right for y'all that practice. And people that bring the meals in there, man, them sandwiches was good. You remember that Thursday? I had them sandwiches right for you. Whoa, wait a minute.
Okay.
Everybody wants credit, Skip.
I like it.
Jared Stidham looked really good last night, but I warn you that in the previous preseason game, he threw two balls that could have been pick six. I will warn you, I watched at least two of his games at Auburn last year where he looked a little lacking of poise in the pocket, where he looked a little under fire and starting to come apart.
Well, I will say this, just based on last night's game, when I'm watching film, I don't watch it as a fan, you know, I'm watching it as an analyst, and I always look for rewindable moments where I'm like, man, let me look at that again.
Right.
Like, I watched this kid manipulate a pocket very much like Brady manipulates a pocket. I have seen so many guys this preseason run themselves into sacks.
Mm-hmm.
They get pressure. They escape out the back end. They get torched, right? Where he gets edge pressure, he's walking up in that pocket. I saw one play where I guarantee you he scrambled 9 yards and never left the pocket. He scooted up. He moved to the right. He moved to the left. He found a window, and he completed a pass through a dig, through with anticipation. But the big thing was, how you manipulate a pocket, how you operate inside a pocket without ever actually looking at the rush, with just feeling the rush, I think that's an innate ability. Mm-hmm. And I saw that out of him, and it made me rewind the tape.
Okay.
I watched it this morning. I rewound the tape two or three times, watching him just, not even the throw, just watching him operate within a pocket. And I was impressed. And I also saw him self-sack himself. So basically, got pressure right there and just kind of dropped.
Okay.
And I was like, that's a veteran presence. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to be the next Tom Brady. I'm just saying I like that aspect of his game.
Could he replace Tom Brady next year?
Well, I mean, he would be, in my mind, I know what Brian Hoyer is. So would that kid, like if he continued to progress, would that kid give you a better opportunity? I will say this about the New England Patriots, and I think this is important. They are in the business of drafting and developing quarterbacks, and they do it on a year-to-year basis. Look at all the quarterbacks that have gone on to play that they've gotten value from. Mm-hmm. Like, here's another example of let's take a guy, let's see if we can develop him, see what he becomes. I mean, they got value out of Ryan Mallett. They made people think that Ryan Mallett could play. Mm-hmm. Like, they do
Matt
it every
Castle.
Year. Matt Castle.
Danny Etling.
Jimmy G.
Yeah.
Mm. For me, Skip, look, have we seen a quarterback really play bad in that system in New England? Everybody look good. Because it's that system. And Coach Belichick, you know you don't have to, you're not going to have to go out there and score 35 points because Coach Belichick's defense is not going to give up 35 points. Mm. Very often, a few occasions here and there, maybe five or six times in the course of 20 years. But if you don't turn the ball over, Josh McDaniel's done a great job coaching those guys up, and that's his job. Mm. The one thing you can say about New England, they develop players. Mm. And they'll take – if they like somebody that's on another team – oh, he – look at the linebackers.
Van Noy.
Huh. Mike Vrabel. He was in Pittsburgh. They took him and turned into a three-time Super Bowl champ. Mm. That's what they do, Skip. He believes in his system. And
Tom Brady invented that system.
But that's not what Coach – that might be true, but Coach Belichick doesn't believe that.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. You mentioned, you know, Van Noy. There's a guy that was considered a first-round bust in Detroit who come to New England.
He's their best defensive player.
He's a great player.
Gilmore.
Yeah.
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 He is. Yeah. Yeah. The front seven, he's the best player right now.
Yeah. Talk about development.
So this man is on the record earlier in this show saying Brian Hoyer will soon be cut and that
or traded.
Stidham, or traded, and that Jared Stidham will be the backup quarterback going into game one. You buying that?
No. That one I don't buy. I think that you're still in the development process. I mean, remember, when Tom Brady came into the league, New England kept four quarterbacks on their active roster.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I do not understand, this is a trend in the National Football League, we're going to keep two quarterbacks, right? Because of that, you know, because of that, we need to keep that one special teams guy, that 53rd man on the roster. The last time I checked, they dressed 46, so that 53rd man on the roster never actually dresses for a game.
Right.
So why would you not keep three quarterbacks and develop a guy? I think they'll keep three.
Huh. Mm. He's been there five seasons, right, Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer is as valuable a backup quarterback as there is in the league.
Because he's never going to get a chance to play.
Well, I hope he doesn't.
But knock on wood, I'm going to knock on wood.
He gets Brady coffee. Yeah, it's probably organic coffee.
But he knows it, and he could step in.
Do you think he could win a couple of games? You better believe it.
Yeah, Jared Stidham, in that offense, with that system, Jared Stidham could win. He'd win the division.
Baloney.
He'd win the division. You said New England would win the
division.
I think that would be interesting. I'd love to see it.
So would I.
The Jets.
Castle. Remember, Castle went 11-5.
The Jets, think about it.
But that team the year before was 16-0. So, I mean, it was a five-game drop-off.
But think about this now. Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets. That's their competition. And you don't believe.
Do you know Stidham
might be the best quarterback in that division outside of Brady. Why are you talking?
Do you know what Greg Williams would do to Jared Stidham?
Oh, he's going to Brady gas on it.
Oh, he would light him up.
And you know what, Coach
Belichick? Some self sacks.
And you know what, Coach Belichick going to do to the quarterback Jets?
Yeah,
heat him up.
Okay,
he's
fine.
Promising. He's promising. Mark, thank you joining
thank
us.
You.
Another guy that I'm hoping is going to be promising, rookie Dwayne Haskins. Should he start for the Redskins?
You hope so.
I'm curious what Skip is going to say about this.
Always self-serving.
Interesting. We'll discuss all that next.
No mercy.
We're back to it. Back to the NFL, though, where Ohio State rookie Dwayne Haskins and journeyman Case Keenum continue to battle for the Redskins starting job. Keenum got the starting nod last night and went 9-14 for 101 yards. Haskins came in to play the second half and was 7-13 for 74 yards. Neither quarterback had a touchdown or an interception. So, Shannon, who would you start week one, Haskins or Keenum?
I'll probably go ahead and go with Haskins.
Good.
He should start, Skip, because look, if this guy's going to be your future, and we talked about this earlier, the situation in Washington is a lot different than the situation in New York, because Eli Manning versus Case Keenum.
True.
Really?
True.
Are we trying to make that a comparable situation? No. We know what Case Keenum is. There's a reason why he's played for five or six different football teams, and he had that. In the 99-year history of the NFL, He got voted as having the flukiest season.
By one guy.
No, don't do this. There you go. See.
By one guy.
All you try to do. I know what you're trying to do, Skip Bayless. You think you no. It doesn't matter if it was what. The mere fact that his season is thought of as being a fluke.
You act like it was universally proclaimed.
I can make a strong case. If I get about 15 guys, I says okay, and give them a choice, Dak might be number two or three. But that's not. We're not talking about Dak right now.
Okay.
Look. I understand that Haskins is a rookie and he's raw, but Case Keenum has not shown me anything that would make me think, you know what? Yeah, he got this thing locked down. But they probably would play it safe and conservative like everybody always do. I mean, you talked about how Baker should have started last year, and they started a Tyrod. They'll probably go along the same line. You start the veteran, and if he struggles, you bring the rookie in because you can always go back.
Hmm. Big mistake not to start Baker.
They were not going to the playoffs. Well, Skip, guess what? He gets to start opening day this year. He gets a fresh start. There's no Hugh around. Nobody even mentioned Hugh. Now we're going to see what he's going to do.
You know, I used to love Hugh, and now I can't bring myself to forgive him for not starting Baker. And it wasn't like I didn't call it before. I said you got to.
Again, for what? The man made a decision that he thought was going to be in the best interest of the Cleveland Browns, not one player, Skip. I keep telling you that.
I had to read that Hugh was soul-searching, went in his basement and slept for 3 days, and could have stayed for 3 months. Well, you brought it on yourself. I mean, come on. You should start the number one overall
pick. Even feel sad. You don't feel bad. You have no empathy.
You know, when Baker Mayfield, you could just see it in Hard Knocks. As soon as he stepped on the practice field, you just knew he was the guy.
You feel it.
He was just taking the whole team over, and you could see the veterans responding to Baker Mayfield. And now he's ranked, like some of the surveys, have him in the top 10. They have him 10.
10.
Right? Leadership, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or just 10 in general.
I think 10 in general.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was
Skip,
10.
What do you think the likelihood of Case Keenum ever having another season, if he plays 5 years, 7 years, or 10 years, what is the likelihood he'll ever put together another season like he had in Minnesota?
Okay, I'm going to tell you the God's truth. If Case Keenum starts game number two against my Cowboys for the Redskins at Washington, I will be far more nervous than if Dwayne Haskins starts game two. I hope Dwayne, and nothing personal against Dwayne, but he is a rookie, and if you watch his first preseason outing, it was pretty disastrous. It was a hide your eyes night where he was just having a hard time. He's impressed me. He's got a live arm. Like he looks like a natural thrower of the football. It just looks right coming out of his hand. Mm-hmm. And he'll make two or three just like highlight reel throws a game where you say, oh, that looked good. I still have my doubts about what happened at the Ohio State last year. And you were there for the Michigan game. And it was a wipeout.
I was around him a lot, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. But, man, he had a track team of receivers. He had Paris Campbell and K.J. Hill and Terry McLaurin and
such a special
Dixon
group.
And the two running backs, Dobbins and now my Cowboy, Mike Weber. Yeah. It's pretty good. It was a loaded offense, good offensive line. Did it make him look a little better than he is? Now it sounds like the Redskins are just enamored of him. And so if you are, I'm with you. Just throw him in the fire. But I'm here to tell you, I'm still a Case Keenum fan. You can look it up. I have been from the start. Since his days at University of Houston, since his early days in this league, he's now 26-28 as a starting quarterback.
Is that good?
Well, it's not terrible.
It is terrible.
It is.
He had the 500.
So he went 11-3 for a good football team in Minnesota, the Vikings, and then he went 1-1 in the playoffs. And he had one really good game in which he outplayed Drew Brees, albeit at Minnesota, but he outplayed him. His QBR was better, 68-55.
Had that one.
They both completed 25 of 40. Those were the numbers, except he was 318 to Drew's 294. He had one touchdown and one pick. Drew had three touchdowns to two picks. So the point is, he did slightly outplay Drew Brees on a really big national stage.
I love how you Skip talking about, well, he's 26-28, so it's not that bad.
Okay, well, he's not a disaster. He wasn't a bust.
You're the type of guy that's overdrawn by 20 bucks. Well, it's not 50. You're overdrawn, Skip.
I've never been overdrawn in my whole life. Not one
You're
time.
Overdrawn.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, he's under 500.
Have you been overdrawn?
I had an account set up that if I became overdrawn, they'd pull it from the credit card.
Oh, okay. Mm. And that happened?
Yeah, man.
What were you buying?
I was not good at balancing checks.
Okay. All right. So you just lost track. It wasn't that you didn't have the money, you just lost track.
Right.
Okay.
Huh. Right. No. I ain't never had been in a situation where I didn't have the money in the bank.
All right.
Okay.
Case Keenum is dramatically underrated because he is
a
gamer.
Not.
He's a gamer. He will fight you. He will scratch and he will.
Oh, yeah, I heard he's good at Fortnite. Yeah. Madden or something like that, but he ain't no football.
Okay.
You need to stop. Skip
you know
me.
What?
You're trying to hype that man. You know
I will not. I will not sleep well before a Case Keenum start in week two against my Cowboys because I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen.
If he's the starter, mm-hmm. the week they play the Cowboys, Ernestine's going to have to wake you up at like 10 o'clock in the morning because that's how well you're going to be sleeping if Case Keenum is the starter. No. You're like, I'm not even getting up to watch this game.
No.
We got this one in the bag.
I got to get up to run. I got to run.
Well,
until 10.
Yeah, but that's the only reason you're getting up. It's not because you're worried, like anxious pacing, as opposed to like you playing old Tom.
I will not.
Or Aaron Rodgers. Now, you playing Aaron Rodgers or Big Ben, you be up pacing.
No, my team will get up for those games, but I'm not sure about Case Keenum because he'll just dink and dunk you to death. And he'll make plays with his legs. He's crafty.
Your guy's the dink and dunk CEO, and you're going to talk about somebody dinking and dunking.
My guy, once he got Amari Cooper, was fifth in the league in the last eight games in air distance to completions. Air distance to fifth in the league?
Dink and dack.
Bombs away.
There ain't no bombs away.
He was fourth in the league over the last eight games in long range.
And everybody know he'd be dinking and dacking and don't nothing be happening.
Haven't opened your eyes. And you haven't opened them to Case Keenum. Case Keenum is a pretty good NFL quarterback.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Solid.
Yeah. Very solid. And by the way.
I like Haskins, though, so it's hard. I kind of think you should go
solid.
For him. If
this is solid. I don't want to play in an NFL.
Here's the point.
What?
The Minnesota Miracle, you got to make a lot of decisions on that play because you got three choices on that play, and he did go for the Stephon Diggs choice in the route tree, right? Did he not make a great throw?
But then why did he make every wrong choice the following week?
Exactly. Right. It was the best day and then the worst weekend.
Yeah, sure. Got Jenny all upset. Jenny thought she was going to the Super Bowl.
I will never forget.
Did anybody for the Vikings play well in that game?
We're not talking about him.
What was it, 38-6?
Jenny even put out an old cheerleading outfit. Thought she had pom-poms and everything. Thought she was golden.
I was not a cheerleader type.
Yeah,
that was
totally,
my thing.
Totally.
Not for me.
She played across.
Yeah, come on.
No, you
cheerleader.
Yay!
That is not me.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.